I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcast.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV Plus.
This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports show, where we explore the big money issues in the world of sports. I'm Michael Vaughn.
I'm Scarlett Fu.
And I'm Mike Lynch.
Coming up today, we've got several topics to talk about, but let's start. Congratulations, first of all. Let's talk about the women's NCAA championship. South Carolina took it home, the Gamecocks. They beat UConn 64-49, Scar.
Yeah, I did not realize just how dominant this team is. In 2020, they were 32-1. How do you compile a record like that?
They
are basically a dynasty at this point. Would you say that, Lynchy?
Well, UConn is the dynasty in women's basketball following Tennessee. But right now, they are the strongest program on the planet in women's college basketball. I mean, they were number one in the preseason polls. They were number one in the first poll that came out in the fall. And last night, they cemented it as number one officially.
Yeah.
Well, what happens now to Dawn Staley? Finally, she got that ring that she's been working hard to get. And hopefully, she'll get some moolah out of this as time goes along.
Yeah, well, she signed a deal before the season started, right. 7 years, $22.5 million. And in that contract is a $500,000 bonus for winning a national championship. So congratulations, Don. Put it in the bank.
Get yourself a new car. You deserve it. Now, one thing I enjoy that I'm seeing is that there is a lot of interest now in the women's college basketball, way more than it was 10 years ago. I'm glad to see it because it's great to watch, Scar.
Absolutely. And NIL, name, image, and likeness, has also put female basketball players in the spotlight completely. I mean, you talk about UConn and how much of a dynasty it is. And Paige Buchers, I mean, she kind of leads the way in terms of being able to monetize her profile.
You know, the women's basketball is number two in all name and image and likeness across the board in the NCAA to men's football. And one of the big reasons for this is that the number of followers that these players have, these women, female basketball players, and they're cashing in left and right. Paige Buchers has a 6- or 7-figure deal, and a lot of people, a lot of women around the country and playing in these leagues have the exact same thing, and it's because of the number of followers they have on social media.
Now I want to clarify something. It's the second title win for South Carolina, but I believe it's the first for Dawn Staley. I wanted to clarify that. But speaking of name, image, and likeness, Dastani Henderson, she stepped up to the, I was going to say to the plate and mix up metaphors and mess everything up. But this is her end of her career for South Carolina. What happens to her now? I mean, does she go in the WNBA? Of course, she's going to get some money for, you know, and buy this Ford. You know, something's going to happen with that. And Scar, I hope she cashes in. You know what my motto is, get the money when you can, while you can.
Yeah, and name, image, and likeness allows female basketball, college basketball players to do just that. I wonder if, well, I guess it's too early now, but I wonder what the data will show eventually in terms of once you go from college to pro, what happens to your ability to monetize your name that way.
Well, now let's head to the men's NCAA basketball tournament. It is tonight, 9:20, I believe, tip-off time, Eastern time.
That seems late.
Well, you know what, though? Because it is usually like that now. Because I'm like you. Usually it's like, why are you guys tipping off so late? But it's become that time now, and probably like around midnight, as I'm getting up, I'm going to find out who won. I got to watch the game. I can't stay asleep. I'm sorry. Kansas against North Carolina. Kansas is the favorite. They've got a mean three-pointer. But more importantly, 70,000 fans over the weekend saw Kansas win, along with North Carolina. Scar, it's pre-pandemic, and it's great to see at least the coaches love seeing it.
Yeah, it's quite the comeback for NCAA basketball, and this will be a good one. I'm a little sad that Coach K is not showing up in the finals. I mean, I'm excited to see UNC go all the way. Did you pick UNC?
I picked Kansas.
Oh,
I picked Kansas to go all the way.
Pick Kansas. I picked Kansas.
Yes. By the way.
Wait, you picked, picked. You picked.
I picked Kansas. By the way, since you brought it up, the TV news. Oh, here we go. The TV newser that the pool won. Because anybody who is still in this thing that can catch me also picked Kansas. That's it.
So you've won.
I've won. That's it. It's done. Oh, what's wrong there? Oh, that's right. How'd you do?
We're number 21.
Yeah, baby.
So in the Lynch camp. We're number 21.
That's right. That's what you want in blackjack. But, you know. I'm sorry, Scarlett. I interrupted.
No.
You know, my chest was like all puffed out. Please continue.
No. I'm a little sad to see Coach K not win in his final appearance in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, he had an incredible run, and he goes down in history as someone truly remarkable. I had the pleasure once of speaking with him, and it goes back to that idea that college basketball coaches are really the stars of that system, because they are the ones who come in and have to mold a team out of new players constantly, and the kinds of leadership that they need to impart and show is it's just kind of stunning how that consistency really tells you so much about their capabilities.
All seriousness, what you're saying, Scar, I agree with you 10,000%. I had a chance also to talk to Coach K.
Mm-hmm.
Just a dynamic, brilliant, great guy. And it's I have nothing but admiration for him. And Lynchy, and Scar is right. I am sorry to see that he didn't make it to the final.
I am too. It would have been just a tremendous storybook ending his final year. I think back to Al McGuire, who did the same thing in 77. He actually won the title. He came up against a tough North Carolina team that beat him at the last game at Cameron, and he didn't have an answer for them down the stretch. A couple of missed free throws down there might have spelled the difference in the final minute of that game. But Coach K walks off with his wife, Mickey, and head held high, and you know, after the game, he didn't talk about himself. He talked about consoling the 15 players he had in there who were bawling mm-hmm. their eyes out because they lost their last game of the year.
Now, by the way, you mentioned about, let's say, some financial incentives with tonight's game.
Well, the Kansas Jayhawks have a sponsorship deal with Adidas, who makes their uniform, that if they make it to the Final Four, they get the team gets $250,000. If they make it into the championship game, they get $500,000.
Check,
and if
check.
They win it, there's $1 million if they win tonight. So that goes to the team. And the conferences, there's already two big winners already. The ACC and the Big Ten already are guaranteed, each conference, $36.6 million over the next 6 years.
Oof.
They have 18 units. Now, a unit is an appearance in a game. So, in other words, before you play your first game, let's take a school like St. Peter's. They're guaranteed $339,000. Well, St. Peter's picked up 4 units this year. That's 1.356, and it's paid out over 6 years. So, the MAC, the conference they play in, gets $8.1 million. But the ACC and the Big Ten have won 18 units in this year's tournament because they had so many schools in it. Each of those conferences will get $36.6 million over the next 6 years.
Wow.
Do the teams split the money evenly, or it's up to the conference to distribute it?
The conference makes the decision, and usually it's distributed evenly. However, they do have the authority to give more. Like, for instance, let's take St. Peter's.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. the school that made the run. Should we just give them a little bit more money than the other schools because they won that money for us?
Right.
Almost like should they get a commission or a percentage on top of everybody else? So it is up to each individual conference commissioner. And usually the school presidents chime in on what they would like as well.
Lobby.
And now here comes the rumor story of the week. I can't see the woods because of the tiger. Okay, that was really bad. But
you rehearsed that.
Yeah, I did, and it still sounded bad when I rehearsed it. But the point is, Tiger Woods is going to be a game-time decision, according to what he's saying, if he's going to play in the Masters. I mean, he's been practicing out there. First of all, let me start this way. It's a miracle that he's even walking at all compared to the accident that he had last year.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, that was a really horrible injury that he endured after that car accident. And, of course, he's already gotten multiple knee and back surgeries as well. So people kind of thought, and maybe even Tiger thought he was done. But now he says it'll be a game-time decision. Lynchy, you were saying that the Masters begins on Thursday. He has up until, like, the last minute almost to decide, right?
He does. And as a five-time champion, he doesn't have to qualify for this tournament. He has a lifetime exemption. And he can, if his tee time is 11:30 on Thursday, 11:29, he can walk up and say, I'm in. And that's it. And I think the fact that he is in Augusta, he was there last week. He played with Justin Thomas and his son on Tuesday. He showed up Sunday, went on the range, and then went out on the course with his caddy and practiced. Billy Horschel, who's a great competitor, says he thinks that Tiger's going to play. Other people who are close to him said he's going to play. I mean, he wouldn't come to Augusta if he wasn't 99% sure that he was going to give this a go. Now, one of the problems he's had is walking courses. You're not allowed to take a cart. And it deceptively, one of the first things, I've never been there, but one of my friends have, the first thing they notice when they get there, how hilly the terrain is. Mm-hmm. You know, from TV, it sort of looks like a flat course, but they said it's much hillier than it looks on television. And that's something Tiger told Jim Nance in an interview in Los Angeles about 6 weeks ago. That was his big concern. He says, flat courses I can handle, but the up and down terrain is something I need to get used to. So, you know, this decision is going to probably be made in the next 72 hours or so. There's supposed to be rain in Augusta on Tuesday and Wednesday, so he may not be able to get out and have a full practice round. But this is right now going to be the biggest story of the week, hands down.
If it's 18 holes, how much walking is involved there? I mean, would he be walking a cumulative mile, 2 miles, 3 miles?
Oh, more like 7 or 8.
Okay.
I think what's amazing to me is that his game, and now I haven't seen it recently. I've been seeing, you know, the clips of him practicing, but his game always revolved around torque. And he got, obviously, the torque from your legs. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering now how that is going to affect his game. Even if he decides to play, how will that help him or hurt him when he's trying to drive a golf ball, for example?
Well, when he was on the range yesterday, he was driving the ball between 285 and 310 yards. And those are pretty good pokes. But, you know, on the range is a lot different than on the course. On the range, you're standing still, you're not moving, you take a breather between hitting the ball. On the course, you're walking, and over the course of the first day, and the second day, and the third day, fatigue sets in. And, you know, first of all, your arms get tired, and then as soon as your arms get tired, then your legs get tired. So he's going to test it out. He's probably going to do almost a four-hour walkthrough, exactly what it would be like if he was playing. And then remember, there's no guarantee he'll be playing on Saturday and Sunday. If he decides to play, he's got to make the cut. So he's guaranteed to play Thursday and Friday, and if he's better than half the field, he'll be in there on Saturday and Sunday. I can only see the people at CVS right now just salivating.
Oh, of
right
course.
Now, thinking
yeah,
about this. It's salivating.
Can he walk with a cane? Can he use any implement?
No. Nope. You've got to walk.
Well, I think the tip-off is... I mixed up another metaphor. The tip-off is going to be that I thought that he was going to play when he played that tournament with his son several months ago, Charlie. That's when I said, you know what? He might do this. He might get out there. He wants to do it. I can see him doing that. So
pretty incredible, given that, he almost had to have his right leg amputated.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Tiger Woods, good for you. If you get out there and play, you knocked a home run. See, I'm going to keep mixing them up until you get out on the course. This is the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. I'm Michael Barr, along with Scarlett Fu and Mike Lynch. Catch us here each and every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, exploring the world of money and sports. And catch me on Twitter at Big Barr Sports.
And here's hoping that Tiger Woods scores a hat trick to continue mixing up the metaphors. I'm Scarlett Fu at Scarlett Fu on Twitter.
And let's not forget, congratulations to Michael Barr for winning the Bloomberg NCAA men's basketball pool. No matter who wins tonight, Michael Barr, you're a champion. And if you want to find me, you can find me on Lynchy WCVB. I'll still be clapping for you.
Well, now I got to clarify, it is the TV newser pool.
So it's a broader audience, a broader group of people than just Bloomberg.
It's got Lynchy, it's got Judy Woodruff in it.
How many people? Let's just let you,
It was like about, you're in it. It was like about 40-something people.
Oh. What do you win, by the way?
I win the respect and love of the audience.
Bragging rights until next year.
Yeah. You're listening to Bloomberg Business and Sports on Bloomberg Radio around the world.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.